You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits, and the program at 5 on Friday is the Sports Guys. And today we have a sports guy in training. John Manfreda is not going to be here. Bill Wolfson is not going to be here. And Ken, not going to be here. But I am very pleased that once again, our guest, or maybe our sports guy in training, who's going to teach us all about basketball, is Cameron Randolph. And Cameron, I understand that you're going into your sophomore year at Central.
Yeah.
And in addition to basketball, you love or you like history.
It's yeah.
one of your, if I recall, that's one of your favorite studies. Although when I get and talk to most high schoolers, they tell me that what they really love is gym. So tell us a little bit about the program, the basketball program, if you would, at Central.
Well, from what I remember, I tried out freshman year, and there were definitely a lot of kids. It was, I think, around Thanksgiving last year, and it was actually, the schedule was messed up because we had a lot of snow, so they had to postpone one of the tryout days, but there were definitely a lot of kids. It was intense. Definitely.
So what you're telling me is that there now, how many students? Do you know how many students there are at Central? I know it's a very large school.
It's thousands, but I don't know like exactly how many.
Okay. But compared to baseball, I mean, is it pretty even as far as the kids who try out for basketball compared to those who try out for baseball and football?
Like how many kids try out?
Well, I mean, are there some? I'm assuming that there's some kids that try out for all three, and then there are others who, like you, who I think concentrate on basketball.
Yeah.
Well, good. And Cameron, I want to introduce you to John Macy. John, welcome. John has been here before, and so I have the pleasure today of two sports guys, one who is Mr. Basketball, and one who I know is Mr. Baseball, right?
Yeah.
Although, John, am I wrong? Are you going into your sophomore year or junior year?
Junior
year. Sorry, I apologize. Cameron is going to be a sophomore. He's at Central, and he is very knowledgeable about basketball. He was on the program when we were down at the shore. We were on Bill Wolfson's boat, and we talked some basketball then. So, as I introduced him, I said we're going to have two people today, our sports guys in training. So let me just turn to John for a minute.
All right.
What do you think? And chime in, Cameron, although I know you're not really a baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, John, what do you think about the Toronto Blue Jays?
Lizzie, personally, it's not going well. They swept the Yankees this weekend, and then they just swept another series against the A's. There's a huge series starting tonight in about 1 hour, 2 hours. Yankees and the Blue Jays in Toronto. David Price is pitching. He just shut the Yankees down on Sunday. It should be exciting. Hopefully the Yankees win it and go back into first place.
Well, am I wrong? You know me. I'm not a real baseball person, but I thought the Toronto Blue Jays have won about 11 straight.
11 in a row.
They're
the second team since 1954 to win 11 games, have two winning streaks of 11 games.
Wow. So do you remember who did it in 1954?
I saw it this morning on SportsCenter. It was the Cleveland Indians in 1954 who went to the World Series.
Wow. So, and am I right that right now that the Yankees are tied with the Blue Jays?
They're half a game behind. That's so, all based on because the Blue Jays have played less games than the Yankees. And the way it is, the Yankees actually have less losses, but they have less wins because of the way that the amount of games have been played.
And they won from Cleveland, though.
They won last night, but they lost the two games before. Before last night, they scored 9 runs in 7 games.
Wow.
And they finally broke out. They had 8 runs.
And the Mets are on top?
The Mets are, I think it's 4 games ahead of the Nationals in the East. They just swept the Rockies, and now they have a tough series with the Pirates this weekend.
Now, Cameron, do you follow baseball at all?
I used to when I was younger because my grandfather is really into baseball, but as I got older, I kind of got more into basketball.
Okay. And how about either one of you? Either one of you following football?
Not really.
Not yet.
Not yet. Soon. Fantasy football, that's my big thing.
You do fantasy football.
I do it.
And how about Cameron? Are you not into that? Now, do they have fantasy basketball?
I'm not sure. I've never really looked into that, but I'm pretty sure they might.
Well, and one of the things that I'm interested in, and Cameron, I think we may have mentioned this the last time you were on the program, why is it, at least in my opinion, that basketball is so popular on the West Coast? Everybody I know on the West Coast seems to like basketball.
I think they're just better teams. There's more competition, so it's more interesting.
Really?
Over in the East, there's, like, the dominant teams. But then over on the West, you have, like, the Rockets, the Lakers. Well, the Lakers aren't really that great. But they have Kobe Bryant, so they're still popular. But there's just more teams that are actually contesting for the conference championship.
Well, but there have been, you know, teams in Chicago. I mean, not that... And Chicago's been pretty much a basketball... I guess Chicago is everything, you know. Mm-hmm. They diehard Cub fans, right?
Yeah.
Diehard Cub fans.
Cubs are hot right now, 1-8 in a row.
Wow, that is because they've often been the cellar dwellers, right?
Yeah, but they loaded up on young prospects in the draft. They developed them, and now they're all finally up in the major leagues, and it's paying off.
Well, is that also what happened to the Mets? That they
the Cubs did it more with hitters than they did. The Mets did it with a lot of pitching. The Cubs did it with a lot of offense.
Did the Mets do pretty well, though, in the draft this year? You don't call it the draft.
It is the draft, but baseball is unlike basketball, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's no real minor leagues. Baseball, you got to go through 4 levels before you make the major leagues. Basketball or football, you get drafted high. You're going right to the pros.
Yeah. So is that an advantage, Cameron, do you think? I mean, these kids come out of college and, you know, they have to go right into the pros rather than... And I'm wondering if partly that is traditionally and before your time, so many of the kids went into baseball right out of high school, or they may not have even... finished high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least in the Midwest, every small town, you know, everybody played baseball. They had American Legion baseball, you know, more or less like Hunterdon County. There's a lot of baseball here. But they went right into one of the minor league teams if they were good enough.
Well, I know football, you're not even allowed to leave high school and go to the pros. Basketball, it used to be like LeBron James went right out of high school. A couple other players went right out of high school.
Yeah.
But they changed that rule. Now you have to play at least one college year. But baseball, since there's no... College baseball isn't as popular as college football and college basketball. So, I mean, but it's not as important because there's the minor leagues. So you get all that time to develop in A-ball, AA, AAA, and then finally the majors.
Well, let me ask you, though, what about somebody who doesn't want to go to college? You know, this is a real question that you know, that and it's interesting. If you ever watch any of the football, I can't remember who it is, but he went to culinary school, so I guess that counted. You know, and there still are players, a number of players in football who, you know, have not gone beyond high school. And some very good players who didn't go beyond high school.
They don't want to go to college because they know that they're going to get in trouble in college, and they're going to, or they just don't, they're too lazy to go to school and they just don't feel like going.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're not great students.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Cameron?
I mean, I don't know. I guess that they're just, some people are just better athletes. Like, I was reading a story about, going back to what you were talking about the draft, like, with basketball, I know that there's, like, you play in college, and like you said, you could get drafted out of high school. One of the people that I know who got drafted out of high school was Lou Williams, who plays for the Hawks. But people can get drafted out of high school or drafted out of college, but it's kind of harder for you to get into the league if you aren't drafted out of college. And there are some people who aren't drafted because they don't meet academic requirements in college, so that can kind of hurt them. So if they have, like, a solid GPA in high school, they might not want to go to college because it might hurt that for them going pro.
And or they, you know, the interesting thing is some of the Division III schools, you know, some of these guys academically couldn't make it in Division I schools,
mm-hmm.
and although they might be able to play basketball. But that's always been a real concern. About how many hours a week would you assume that college basketball players practice?
I don't think I would have any, like, certain number, but I know that it would definitely be a lot to manage, not only, like, college and having all those classes that you have to juggle, and then also having to maintain a certain level of intensity while playing.
Well, they go to class, and then they practice. It's almost like high school. They go to class, and they practice after school hours.
Yeah.
But their
schedules are tailor-made for them, so they, like, all their classes are, depending on the coach, either in the morning so they can practice at night, or in the afternoon so they can practice in the morning.
Well, but I have to tell you, and this goes back a lot of years, obviously, but I remember had a lot of friends who were football players at the University of Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and they were putting in close to 40 hours a week on football. So that it really did was challenging for them to do anything academically. And, of course, many of them were not doing a lot academically.
Yeah.
So tell me, what happens when there's a basketball game? And I'm assuming that both of your schools play each other in basketball?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So who's the better team? Last year, let's say.
I mean, I don't really know. I haven't really followed. I mean, I know because I have a couple friends who were on the freshman team last year, and they said that they did pretty well. But I don't know as far as other schools how well they did.
Now, how well at Central? How is basketball really a sport that you know, a lot of kids show up for those games?
I wouldn't say as much as say football, because football, I'm pretty sure, like, Central is mostly a football school. Especially because a couple of years ago we went to state, and I think we won state. I don't know. But last year I know that we didn't, our varsity team didn't do well at all in football.
Okay. What about North, right?
For basketball?
Yeah.
It's not big. Baseball has been really well, but that, I mean, everyone goes to football games. Football, Friday mm-hmm. night, under the lights, that's the thing. You don't go to basketball games. There's so many of them. Maybe one night we're playing, like, a rival, and, like, we'll get, like, the student section will get really into it, but only on select nights, not all the time.
Yeah. It's more of, like he said, like, kind of just going to a football game, and there are people who don't even go to the football game for the football, just to kind of hang out with friends. Yeah. So
that's,
I think that
been.
It's just, like, with basketball, it's kind of different than football.
And how about baseball? Do you have a lot of kids showing up for baseball games?
Not really, because it's such a weird time. It's right after school, and there's no, especially at our field, there's nowhere to sit.
And really?
It's just, yeah, it's only usually parents, but, like, I know we had the county championship game, and at Diamond Nation, and a lot of people went to that. So if there's a really big game, we'll get people to go.
Okay. So, Cameron, what's your goal as far as basketball? I'm assuming there are also intramural teams at Central?
I think so, yeah.
Are you going to go out for basketball again this year?
Yeah, definitely.
Good. And, you know, there's also the alternative is you could always become one of the broadcasters.
Yeah. They have a lot of programs for that stuff at Central.
Well, in fact, Central has a radio program, don't mm-hmm. they?
Yeah, they do.
I'm sorry, a radio station, not just a program, a station. Now, do the students participate in the radio station at Central?
Yeah, they're a kid that can get shows during the year.
Okay. I have a son, actually, who does the announcing. I mean, he's an adult now, but he does the announcing at the University of Wisconsin for the hockey.
That's cool.
And, you know, he never actually played hockey. He went to Hopewell, and at that time, Hopewell didn't even have a football team. He did a lot of cross-country, did a lot of running. But he just got very interested in hockey, and I don't know how it evolved, but at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls, he's been doing the hockey announcing for a number of years. And so I'm always encouraging people to do broadcasting as well as, you know, playing. So, John, what are your plans for the fall as far as baseball?
Well, for North, we have a trading program that we do, like in the weight room, that we follow our JV coach. He runs that whole thing. And then it's going to be playing in the fall. I'll be playing in a league at Diamond Nation. And a lot of North kids will be doing it. It's just fall. It's a lot more relaxed than like the spring or the summer, but it's just to stay in shape. And then in the winter, more training, not as much baseball, just more weight training and getting ready.
Well, you know, that's pretty amazing that the kind of really workouts that you now do. I mean, give me an example of what the average high school player would do as far as keeping in shape and getting into shape and staying in shape.
Well, the program we do in the fall is 3 days a week. It's for like an hour, but our JV coach is a personal trainer in the summer, so he knows what's up. We do these baseball oriented workouts. So like every workout is baseball related, and it's a mix of cardio and heavy weights, and then it's really good. It's really good stuff, and we get a lot out of it, and it helps you stay in shape in the seventh inning, or if we go to extra innings, it keeps you mentally and physically sharp.
Well, that must also be the problem in basketball, isn't it? I mean, you play a game, and especially a first stringer, but even in intramurals, mm-hmm. I mean, it takes a lot of energy.
Yeah, especially so, depending on the intensity of the game. But at Central, we have something that's kind of like what they have at North. We have a strength and conditioning program, which is basically just like weightlifting and exercises that'll keep us in shape. So they have it going on during the summer. And then, so for basketball, right now is off season. So what we have for basketball now is just kind of maintaining, maintaining your shape. And then once we get closer to basketball season and tryouts, it gets more intense to
now,
kind of prepare you for tryouts.
Do all the guys who are participating in all the sports, do they all work out together at, let's say, at Central and at North?
Unless you're playing a fall sport, they like to have you do the fall program. The winter isn't as mandatory, but they like you to do the fall one because that's run by the baseball staff.
Okay.
So they like you at that one. The winter one is more football, but you can do that too. But
could the football guys come out and also work out all year round?
Well, they have practice during the fall.
Right. Well, they have practice during the fall, but what about winter and spring?
They work it. For the winter and spring, it's run by the football team. They do the fall. They do the winter and spring weight room during those seasons. But in the fall, it's mostly baseball.
So that it actually, the coaches that are coaching baseball would also be working with you in the training and the weight room, for example?
Yep.
Okay.
For Central, it's kind of more like we have just a personal trainer that just does the strength and conditioning. So really, it doesn't matter what sport you play, like, so say you don't make the basketball team, you can still go to strength and conditioning, even if it's not for basketball. And it's not going to work out like the same muscles that you would need for basketball, but it's still to stay in shape. And I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. Basically, with basketball, you can go there, gets more intense during the off season, but yeah, you can just go year round.
Well, actually, that's great. So mm-hmm. that what you're saying is that, you know, they're encouraging everybody to stay in shape, and they're really encouraging anyone who plays football, baseball, basketball. The difference now is that, you know, the guys that used to go out for football, mm-hmm. I mean, they would be lazy all summer and then all of a sudden go out and die trying to get in shape for the football in the fall. And the level of intensity of strengthening and keeping in shape is so much more now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm assuming that you both think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm going to have to play a couple commercials. Our news is not working, so we'll just talk about a couple people who are sponsoring us, and we'll come back. And my guests today, Cameron Randolph and John Macy. Cameron is going to be a sophomore at Central, and John is going to be a junior. Wow, you're really on the downward swing there at North. And John is our resident baseball expert, and I was really interested in meeting Cameron a few weeks ago. And, you know, his sport is basketball, and they're both avid fans, which is always good. Whatever you want to be an avid fan of. In fact, one of these days I'm going to get somebody in who, like me, also likes rodeo, which is very unusual in the East Coast, I realize. Mm-hmm. And if you lived in, you know, somewhere like Texas or Kansas or New Mexico or even the Midwest where I grew up, you know, that was a very tough sport. But they actually have rodeo in many of the high schools out there. So I guess it's going to be a long time coming to New Jersey, even though we have a lot of horses here. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back right after a few of our
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones-Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
We're back. The sports guys today, the sports guy is Pat Smits with our two sports guys in training, John Macy and Cameron Randolph. And they're my guests today, and Cameron is an expert in basketball, which I know almost nothing about other than the top names who are playing today. And John is really knows more about baseball than probably most of the people, well, certainly most of the people I know. But one of the things that my husband reminded me of is that Mickey Mantle died 20 years ago. Which, you know, do you have any stories about Mickey Mantle that you remember? Not that you remember, you would remember.
I've heard the crazy stuff that he did. He was, if he took better care of himself, he could have been the greatest player possibly of all time. But the way they say before he came up and hurt his knee for the first time, he was the fastest, the strongest. And he was the best. They said he could have stolen 60 bases and hit 60 home runs in one season. That's what, before all the injuries happened. So that's what injuries. And one day in Yankee Stadium, he was playing right field, and this is how old the stadiums were. There was used to be like these little sprinkler heads, like on a golf course,
right?
Mm-hmm. And they, I guess the grounds crew forgot to bury it all the way like they were supposed to. And it left out, and he was running for a ball, didn't look at it, he kicked, and he tore. He did the equivalent of what's common now is tearing your ACL. And that's not... Back in 1951, there's no microscopic surgery like there is today.
Yeah.
Like, when people tear their ACL now, it's okay, it's a year off, but you can recover.
And even then, like, players aren't at the same level that they were.
Yeah. So that's my real Mickey Mantle story. There's probably a ton more, but I'm not old enough. Not old enough to remember, not know enough about it.
Well, have you ever heard of Ted Williams?
I have.
Mm-mm.
And Ted was, he was probably considered the greatest hitter, would you say?
I would.
And, tell us a little bit about what you remember about, or know about, not remember. You wouldn't remember Ted Williams at all.
Well, Ted Williams, he was the last person to ever hit 400. In 1941, he hit 406. Funny story about that was he was going into the last two games. They used to play doubleheaders a lot more. So the last two games of the year were doubleheaders. And he was hitting his batting average was 3.995. And the way baseball does things, it's three numbers. So five is good enough so you can round that up. It would be even 400. So he said, if I did that, it would be almost like cheating my way out of it. So he went out and he went 6-for-8 and he improved his average by 6 points to 406. He lost a lot of years in the major leagues because he fought as a Air Force pilot in both the Korean War and World War II.
Right.
He was a very good pilot for the Army. He was very highly regarded. Also, he's the last guy to win the Triple Crown and not win the MVP. Triple Crown, meaning he led the league in average home runs and RBIs. He didn't win that because that's voted by the Baseball Writers of America, and he was not well-liked by the writers, so they didn't vote for him. That's how he was that good. But he was... A lot of people didn't like him because he wasn't very, colorful. He was very just, he went out and he did what he had to do. And he was a little arrogant, and he didn't really take fielding very seriously. All he cared about was hitting. But he probably was the greatest pure hitter to ever play baseball.
Yeah, I never saw him play, but I would have liked to because he was an amazing player and played until he was into his 40s.
Yep, he played. He started in 1939, maybe, and went till 19. He played in four decades. He went from 39 to 1960,
which was unbelievable. Which is, really,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And he lost, but he didn't play all this because he lost. Let's see, he lost from 42 to 45 because of World War II, and then he lost two or three years for the Korean War. So he lost five playing years, but to still play for that long is pretty amazing.
Well, you know. There were so many of the players that either were drafted or signed up for World War II, that in fact that's why a lot of the women's teams back then started to be
there's a whole movie about it.
Actually, there is. You're right. Mm-hmm. Did you both see that movie?
I've seen parts of it, yeah.
So let me know, Cameron. What do you watch a lot of the basketball games on television?
Not this past season, but I usually do, yeah.
So what happened this last season? Just too busy?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I just didn't really... I followed my own team, which is the Hawks, but other than that, I really didn't keep up with it.
Well, and tell me, how is it that you became a Hawks fan?
Well, the Hawks are the team in Atlanta, and I'm from Atlanta, so that's my team. It's my hometown.
And you have to stay with your team,
yeah,
whatever the team is, and so that's great. So who's your favorite player on the Hawks?
I don't really think I even have a favorite player on the Hawks, but I just like the team in general because they're more of – it's not – like a lot of the other teams that have star players, you would say, like LeBron James, because those teams, for the most part, revolve around that one person. And the Hawks kind of, they play as a true team where they include everybody, and everybody has their own thing to contribute to the overall game.
Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. How about other teams? You see the same thing with other teams or not?
There are a few other teams, but they don't do as well just because... they're teams that are just really young, like the Philadelphia team, the 76ers. They haven't done so well for the past few years. And right now they just, like, I guess, like, the average age on their team is, like, 24, 25, something like that. So they're all really young. And it's just that when you don't have anybody, and this is goes for any sports team, when you don't have anybody who's really experienced, then... there's no mentor to kind of guide the younger players.
So they're talking about rebuilding, but I don't know. It seems to me like Philadelphia teams seem to be rebuilding all the time, but that's another situation. Well, Cameron and John, one of my favorite players of all time, and when I was your age and younger, I really followed baseball, but one of my favorites was Hank Aaron. And he played for the Milwaukee Braves in the late 50s. And so for all of us kids younger than you at that time, he was just an all-time great guy. And he was so much fun to watch. Know anything about Hank Aaron?
I know he was quiet. He was probably the quietest, like, superstar of all. He didn't like to say anything. He liked to just play. He just played. He went out about his business. He didn't try to bring attention to himself. Like, especially when he broke the home run record, he didn't want all that attention. He just wanted to round the bases. And he said not until after the game was over and he met his parents in the parking lot outside the stadium that he actually realized what he did.
Well, and in fact, I don't think he was known outside of Wisconsin prior to 1957 when the Braves won the championship. I mean, before that, he was very unassuming, but he was just great to watch. I mean, he was just so much fun to watch him hit. And I think that when they went to the championship, he was suddenly in the headlines, and he was suddenly... there was a lot more focus on Hank Aaron. But, he was apparently one of the stories he used to say tell is that one time his father, and I think this was down in Mobile, Alabama, had climbed a tree to watch Babe Ruth play. And, of course, we will never know how many of the players that were in the Negro Leagues would have been just some of the best players if they'd been playing in the majors, because it was so long before they allowed blacks into the majors. But Hank Aaron was just terrific. And of course, a lot of times for the Braves, because Eddie Matthews would routinely hit over 40 home runs a year, he just you know, he just dominated, and everybody thought about Eddie Matthews, and, you know, he was single at the time, so all of the girls loved Eddie Matthews. He was this great-looking guy. But I think that, you know, Henry Aaron, who grew up in Mobile, Alabama, and he originally started with the Negro League.
Yep, he was in Indianapolis, I believe it was the Indianapolis, like, Clowns or something like that.
You're right. You're absolutely right. He was, however, he was quickly signed by the Boston Braves soon after he turned 18. So that's another example of how young so many of these baseball players were.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing in the Negro Leagues before he was 18 years old. So many of those baseball players, they didn't even finish high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, one of the things that you would be in, John would enjoy, would be going to Kansas City to see the Negro League Museum. I guess they call it the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. Now, we have, what does baseball have, Cameron, with respect to the same thing that, you know, we have Canton football, and, you know, we would, New York,
Cooperstown.
Cooperstown.
I think there's the Naismith Hall of Fame, right? In Massachusetts is the basketball one.
Really?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Have you been there?
No.
Okay, well, that's a trip, but I don't think people hear about that in
that's
the same
not,
way.
It's, the one you really hear about the most is Cooperstown, the one in New York. You don't hear a lot of people go to the Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been to it, it's nice, but it's not as, the Baseball Hall of Fame is, if you're a baseball fan, it's like the first thing on your bucket list. You have to go there, then probably Yankee Stadium or one of the famous stadiums, but it's just so cool to see everything in one place. And I went actually this summer, and I just enjoyed it, and I thought I went when I was like 6 or 7, I didn't really realize, and now I realize how cool it is. And it was so awesome just to go there.
Well, and that's interesting because I know that, you know, I've been there. It was years ago. One of the things that, and I've not been to Canton, but the Green Bay Packers have a Hall of Fame that's really neat. And, in fact, Brett Favre is going to be inducted. No, he just was inducted. Excuse me. He was inducted into the Packer Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And his... was he inducted? Or I know his jersey is going to be retired.
His number is being retired.
His number is going to be retired.
And this next, they just voted the class in for the Hall of Fame. He's eligible for the 2016 NFL Hall of Fame.
Oh, I think he'll be first.
It's very rare that they let guys in the first ballot.
You don't think he'll be a first ballot?
Depends. Depends how many writers like or dislike him.
Yeah, well.
Again, it's all about the... Obviously, he's going to get in the near future, but it all depends who likes and dislikes you with those kinds of things sometimes.
Well, so what do you have to say about Matt Harvey of the Mets? Anything?
I love watching him pitch. He's probably my favorite pitcher to watch in the major leagues right now. He throws the ball hard. He just has everything. He's got a perfect mechanics. He's got a good fastball, good slider, good curveball, and good changeup. He's exciting. He's young. The only thing is the Mets notoriously do not like to spend a lot of money on their players, and he apparently was a huge Yankee fan growing up, so they're saying, there's like rumors out there, within the next couple of 2 or 3 years that he could possibly go to the Yankees when his rookie contract's up. So.
Wow, that would be a big loss for the Mets and a big gain for the Yankees.
Well, that's a few years down the road.
Well, did either of you watch any of the preseason football games last night on television?
Nope.
I didn't. I'm not ready for football yet.
You're not ready.
I can't get in football yet.
Well,
I need a couple more weeks of baseball before I can really get into
any comments about... what happened to Geno Smith at the Jets?
I think the only thing I have to say about that is I found it funny how Rex Ryan, the former coach of the Jets, as soon as that incident happened, the Jets released that linebacker who punched him. Rex Ryan signed him.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
And Rex Ryan, he really just wants to show that he's serious and he thinks that the Bills are going to go far. And I think they're going to be a good team. They just need a little help at quarterback, and I think they can make a run.
Well, he would have been involved in looking at everybody last year for the draft, right? I mean, he might know how good he expects this guy to be.
Yeah.
It was pretty amazing. And, you know, so far I've heard nothing about any kind of suspension as a result of that.
No, because it happened. He did it to a team member. It wasn't like it's a locker room. It's all team involved.
It wasn't like something happened out in the field.
Yeah, the team. All the punishment for that goes to the team, and the team decided to release him, which is almost like fine him because then he doesn't have a job. So,
okay.
It's all team involved because it was a team incident. It wasn't a league issue.
But
he didn't violate league policy. He didn't violate.
Well, I mean, you don't violate league policy if there's an assault. I mean, we all know what's happening to players who are being suspended for things that have nothing to do with football. I mean, for example, drug offenses or DUI.
But there's it's a team. That's a league policy. This isn't technically team related. This is technically team related, not league related.
Well, whether you like Geno Smith or not, this could be the end of his career, because he was on, I think, shaky grounds anyway this year.
I know. He'll be back. He'll be back.
Well, but if whoever fills in for him does a great job for the first, seven games.
But he's still talented enough that if he doesn't, if the Jets decide, he's talented enough to be at least a backup somewhere. He's good enough to do that.
Well, that's true. I agree.
He gets very scrutinized because he's from New York.
You think he gets scrutinized more than others?
Yes. Highly.
Really?
If you look at Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls. I've never heard a quarterback who has led his team to two Super Bowls be criticized as much because he plays in the middle. He plays in the biggest media town in the world.
Well, that's an interesting comment. Would you think the same thing, that East Coast players, basketball players, for example, are they scrutinized more, Cameron?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll give a basketball, like Carmelo Anthony. He played in Denver. I mean, no offense to Denver. And he played in Denver. And no one in Denver is going to be, like, getting on you from, like, the big media markets as much as they do in New York, because there's so many reporters in New York.
Yeah.
So many newspapers and TV shows, and everything's based there.
Well, that's true. But on the other hand, what's interesting is there's so much going on in California and in New York and in this area where, you know, if you grew up in Wisconsin, if you were in Green Bay, Wisconsin, believe me, there is nothing else other than Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So if you saw the news, the sports pages every day, not just during football season, but every day there is something about Packers. So that's interesting. On the other hand, I will say that the Packer fans are very forgiving. I mean, I'll never forget the first time I went to an Eagles game and they actually were booing the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a Sixers game one time, and it was the Hawks versus the Sixers, and the Hawks, the score was like 120-something to 100, and people just started leaving before the game even ended, just because they knew that the Sixers weren't going to win. I just think that with New York, it's not only the fact that there is so much media coverage, it's that New York is just a city that really cares about its sports, so that if there's a team that really isn't doing as well as some people think they should be, they'll let the people know that.
Well, that's interesting, because I don't think there's any city that loves sports more than Green Bay, but on the other hand, I think they're very forgiving. In other words, there were many, many years where the Packers were, not doing well, and they filled that stadium every time. I mean, it was not, and to your point, the first time I went to a Giants game, I couldn't believe that people were leaving before the end of the game. And in fact, one of the games we went to, one of the last games we went to, the Giants were winning over the Packers. The Packer fans were still there to the end of the game. And, the Giant fans, but so many of them had left. I mean, it was really to me, it was an embarrassment, but we did get out of the parking lot very quickly because they just seemed to have a different attitude. Now, I realize it seems to me also that more of the seats are kind of corporate, and, you know, so that a lot of people are going for corporate seats rather than, you know, the diehard fans from Green Bay, where you would not get to go to a game probably unless your grandfather had tickets, because that's how hard it is to get tickets. You put your names on the to get a season ticket for the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
The list now is close to 40 years, and it only was 30 years, and now I guess some of those tickets because they added to the stadium. But, you know, people put their kids on to get season tickets when they're born. So that's...
Real quick about the Packers and the Giants and everything about that. There's no other... There's no Green Bay baseball. There's no Green Bay basketball.
Right.
There's the Green Bay Packers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then it, say you go to... Go down and take a trip to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where the Alabama college... Not even pro, college.
Right.
The sports page is filled with the news from Alabama University College training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a pro sport. So if you think that you get one team in one city, they're just going to fall in love with one that one team. In New York, there's the Giants, the Jets, the Rangers, the Devils, the Yankees, the Mets, the Knicks. Did I say the Knicks and Nets yet? Did I say them? I don't know. There's the NBA.
Right.
There's hockey. There's baseball. There's football. So it's almost like, all right, in New York, the attitude's like, football season's over, shuffle over to the NBA basketball playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
NBA's over, shuffle over to baseball. It just keeps going and going. Football's like, it's Packers, 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 Packers.
That's true.
So it's, I wouldn't blame the New York fans because there's Giants fans out there that love it so much. It's
I agree.
It's just, there's so much other stuff in New York besides, so much other sports.
That's true. That, you're absolutely right. On the other hand, the Packer Stadium holds now something over 70,000, and the whole city of Green Bay is 125,000. So, but you're right. The focus out there has always been football. You know, how do you think, Cameron, when I was growing up, and I think still, Indiana is huge basketball?
I think that's a college thing. Too, just because college basketball, a lot of people like it more than pro basketball, just because it's a. I mean, I don't know the exact reason. I guess everybody has their own reasons why they like it more. But a lot of people just like it because it's more. They say that people are playing more because they actually love the sport rather than the contracts and the sneaker deals and things like that that get complicated once you get to the pros.
I think, but as when I was growing up in Wisconsin, you know, everything was football, 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 even at the university. But mm-hmm. for some reason, Indiana, which is not that far from Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
they were always big in basketball. You're right, it's college. But now Wisconsin has a very good basketball team now. But, you know, it was never big in Wisconsin, you know, years ago. Mm-hmm. So I think in some ways, why is it that so many people are follow college basketball? Just because that's all there is? Or
where? In Indiana know, or
in anywhere. Anywhere, but especially Indiana. I mean,
I can't speak for over here, but I love college so much more than pro basketball because they play because they love basketball. They don't play because they don't play for money. Because if they play for money, then they end up getting fined and their school gets in trouble. So college basketball is so much more exciting. I really just dislike the NBA. They don't play defense. It's all like especially the NBA regular season, which is way too long to begin with.
Right.
Because game 75, LeBron James doesn't want to play defense anymore. Mm-hmm. He just wants to play offense. And then when the playoffs come, then they turn it on and then they start playing.
Like you'll have games where like. It'll say, "Oh, LeBron James isn't playing for personal reasons," and it's just because he doesn't want to play. He'd rather sit at home with his family than go out and play on like the because it's like an 80-game season.
Like, I mean, everyone's falling in love with Steph Curry. Steph Curry is he's on the Warriors, the MVP. Hey, he can shoot the ball. So what? He's not a lockdown defender. I like watching guys like. I was really happy when Andre Iguodala won the Finals MVP because he played defense. He did the little things, like the fundamentals. I don't play basketball anymore. I'm just not good enough, and I decided it's just not for me.
Yeah.
But when I played, I always took pride in the fundamentals, playing the defense, staying in front of who I'm covering, doing things that the NBA takes for granted because they're so good and so athletic. But in college, you still see that, and they're playing for – because every game matters because it's only 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
So it all matters, and every game means something. And then once the NCAA tournament rolls around, that's even better.
Well, that's when most of us who don't follow basketball, when we watch,
everyone
the
fills out a bracket.
Yeah.
My mom fills out a bracket. I mean, everyone does. It's probably for me as a sports fan, besides the World Series, it may be the most exciting. Besides Game 7 of the World Series, the NCAA tournament is the best.
Well, because you know that teams are just going to play as hard as they can. Like, with Andre Iguodala, like, he is just a really fundamental-based kind of player. Like, he even played for the Sixers way back when the Sixers traded him, and that's when they started to go downhill. Mm-hmm. But Andre Iguodala is just a really strong player. He can play offense. He can play defense. Me, personally, I try to focus more on defense, just because to me that's just more important, because my dad played basketball and he played for like a Division II college, and he was saying he says it doesn't matter how many points you can score. You can score 30, but if the person that you're guarding scores 40, then it doesn't, at the end of the day, people are going to remember the fact that the person that you were supposed to be guarding scored 40 more than you scoring 30. So I put more effort, and I just think I'm better at defense than I am offense, so I put a little bit more effort into defense than offense. But with college, you have teams that sometimes people don't even consider winning, and they, like, upsets. They beat somebody who's ranked higher than them, and that's really entertaining because people are just giving it their all.
Well, Cameron, let me ask you something, because one of the things that I don't understand is why both in college and in pros, they don't have a higher percentage of free throws. I mean, I'm always amazed that somebody who's played and played that well, when they miss free throws, which, you know, really can cost them a game. Any idea as to why aren't they better at free throws?
I just think it all comes down to what you're used to doing in a game. Like Dwight Howard, who really can't shoot free throws all that well. He's a center. He's 7 feet tall. All he really needs to do is stand in the post. Now, I'm not saying he's not a good player. He's a really good player, but it's not like he's shooting constantly. So when you're playing a whole game in the post, close to the basket, and then you have to shoot free throws, it's not something that you're going to put as much effort into, not only in the game, but just in practice.
But my question always is, why not? I mean, these games, some of them come down to, if you look at how many free throws have been missed, that team would have won.
Mm-hmm.
And now some guys are very good, I grant you, but even when you look at the tournaments, I mean, it's always amazing to me why these guys don't practice so that they learn how to throw free throws. Now, maybe, and I played basketball in high school, and I mean, that was something we practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And you may miss it when you're running down the court, but, you know, boy, my coach, you better not miss those free throws.
But even that's like a mental thing, especially.
It depends on your approach to the game.
Yeah.
If you're fundamentally sound, free throws are a big thing for you. You want to knock down your free throws. That's why you have them. But think about it. You're running down the court, especially these guys playing 40 to 45 minutes a game, keep running back and forth and back and forth. But your legs are going to get tired.
Yeah.
When your legs get tired, they send messages to your arms, and your whole body is sore, and you're using almost everything you got. You can't get it up there.
Especially when, like, if it just depends on your game style. If you're running in and you're cutting to the basket and you're going in for layups, dunks, whatever, that's taking a lot out of your legs. Even shooting from long range. I don't know about high school three-point lines, which is at the top of the key, but with NBA and even college three-point lines, which is at the top of the key, and then with the NBA, it's even farther back. Jumping from that far is also doing a number on your legs. So it's you're like doing a lot of running and back and forth, like John said, and just it's a lot. And then at the end of the day, if it's closer to the end of the game and you know that these free throws matter, that like thinking about that is also
so it's a mental thing then, yeah, you think, in part of it. Mm-hmm. Because it would just seem to me that you know, they do make these amazing three-point shots. I mean, you know, some of them are just you just can't believe that they're actually going into the basket. I mean, the layups are a little different, but you know, some of those three-point shots, and then the same player will get up to the free throw line and miss two when it's important for him to make it. So that's an interesting perspective you both have on that, because I, you know, it's always been something that I thought that you know, someone who was consistently could make free throws, as you said, John, that would be the basics. That would seem to me that that would be something that you would start learning from the time you were very young. And, you know, then you could gradually do more like the, you know, the three-point shots. So who, Cameron, who do you think are some of the best three-point shooters in the pros right now?
Well, obviously I'm going to have to say Steph Curry, just because he's probably the most popular three-point shooter in the league right now, winning the championship and also MVP. James Harden's a really good three-point shooter. And they're just people who aren't even all-around great players, because James Harden and Steph Curry are both all-around great players. Well, I mean, Steph Curry, he's just had like a breakout season, so he's not like great all-around, but he's pretty good. James Harden is good defensively and offensively, but there are just a lot of people that are just pure shooters. Kyle Korver on the Hawks is just a pure shooter. Like, he set a couple records in the past couple of years with him, like his shooting ability, which is pretty good. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't really think of.
Okay, well, that's great. Listen, we're kind of run out of time. I should play a couple more spots before we end. I want to thank both of our guests today, and tell John and Bill and Ken you missed a great program, and thank you both for coming in. My guests today were Cameron Randolph and John Macy, and I hope you both come back, and you know, certainly John will have to have you back as the end of the baseball season is, you know, can you believe it's going to be what, another about another month, and you know, we'll
two months.
And I'm sure you'll be watching your Yankees and
watching and praying.
And you know, the interesting thing, I don't think there are a lot of Toronto Blue Jay fans around, but the ones that are, you know, they must They're not so be happy. Able to believe it. I mean, 11
you
wins.
You can't see it, but as the Blue Jays have grown and gotten respected in baseball, they have a great fan base. In Canada, it's actually unbelievable the turnout that they're getting for all these games. They're filling their stadium, which good for the game is good, but hopefully they the Yankees just come out ahead. That's all I gotta say.
Well, for those of you who are Yankee fans, I agree, but there are a lot of other people, as you know, and I've told you before, that, you know, around the country, the Yankees are not the favored team for most people who grew up in the West and the Midwest, and certainly in Atlanta. Of course, your baseball team down there.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
In 1949, President Harry S. Truman signs the National Security Bill, which establishes the Department of Defense. As the Cold War heated up, the Department of Defense became the cornerstone of America's military effort to contain the expansion of communism. In